Welcome to the Underrepresented in Tech podcast, where we talk about issues in underrepresentation and have difficult conversations. Underrepresented in Tech is a free database with the goal of helping people find new opportunities in WordPress and tech. Hello, Sama.
I'm good. Hello, my lovely Michelle. How are you?
I'm good. I can't believe that this time next week we will be together in person. And when people hear this, because we've actually recorded this ahead of time, we will already be, if you're listening to this, we are already at WordCamp Europe. We are in Torino.
Yeah.
So it's exciting.
I'm really happy. I cannot wait. We're traveling with a bus, the whole Yoast team. So it's going to be 11 hours in the bus and we're going to have fun. And oh my God, I cannot wait to see all the people I love in WordPress community. Yeah.
Yeah. I can't go by bus. It would be very watery. I could go by submarine, maybe by boat, but I'm going to go by airplane because it'll be fastest.
Me, I have amazing skill. You know what is my skill? I can sleep anywhere. So for me, I know that 11 hours, I'm going to sleep 10 hours from them. So
put on your hair headphones, maybe an eye mask.
I'm only going to wake up. I'm going to wake up for food and to say, hi, how are you? And that's it.
Like, give me my sandwich. I'm going back to sleep now. I love it. I love it. Well, I love that we are... I'm going to talk like we're there. I love that we're in Torino and that we have all these wonderful experiences. One of the things that... I love when you send me articles that we can think about in advance. And I hadn't thought about this subject in quite a while. Because it was something that was talked about even like 20 years ago. We talked about the digital divide. Yeah. and what it means. And basically, you know, it's going back to talking about the haves and the have-nots. So people who have access to technology and Wi-Fi and all of the things that... that we think of as our digital lives, and then the people who do not or have limited access. And, you know, 20 years ago, I think perhaps the divide was greater than it is now. Things are much more accessible publicly, at least in some places. Absolutely. Yeah. I'm not speaking for every place in the world. But when I think of how it relates to WordPress as well, and the idea of democratizing publishing, it's only truly democratized if people have access to use the tools that WordPress provides. So I just love the article that you sent me. So tell us a little bit about why you chose this topic today and what are your thoughts?
For me, I chose this topic today because honestly, I think in my youth, I get really affected by it but now I realize it because I grew up in the Middle East. The technology was coming to us very late in life. Even as I studied IT engineering, but the things I was studying at university, I think it was in other countries, in the States, in Europe, they already had it since 10 years ago. Because I remember I remember when the last year I was studying C++, and that's, you're talking about 2008, 2007. So that was a little bit backward. And also at the same time, I remember there was degree CCNA, the Certificate of Cisco Networking Administrator, that started to open in 2009, while I think people have it in the beginning of 2000. So I think that hold a lot back. And also at the same time, if you're going to the social class, rich with poor people, because in the old time, not everyone can afford a laptop, a computer. And even, let's be honest, also at the same time in Europe, like 25 years ago, buying a computer, it was a kind of luxury. It was not a must in life, while now everyone can have access. Of course, I'm not going to say everyone can easily afford Mac, but you can afford something affordable in 200, 300 euro that you can use. While in the past, that was really mission impossible. Yeah. I chose this topic because I was reading about it and I was really shocked that even until today, there's worldwidely like 52% of women are affected by it and almost like 42% of men worldwide are affected about it. And I think it's really a good topic to talk about it because most of the people, when we talk about the differences between men and women or ethnicity or a lot of things, we always forget also the social class, the people sometimes, people of color are not this, they have the same comfortable financially as, let's say, white people, and that also affect on them in reaching technology affording it. But that doesn't mean they're not, how can I say it, that everyone is smart, just like where you grow up, what do you get educational, and what was given to you. I don't think the thing is, this hold community backs, hold people to get a better jobs, hold people to get a better life, and also help in dividing the society more and more between the color of your skin or your ethnic background, or where do you live, if you live in bigger city, if you live in even better neighborhood, because some around the world still a better neighborhood can get better internet. And sadly, I can see it in where I live. We have a fiber optic, 5Gs go fast quickly, but some part they don't have it. Even this, it sounds very simple, like, oh, but they have access to internet, but it's different. Like if you have, you have to wait half an hour to get information, or you need to get a connection, or everything is fine, or I can get it in 1 minute or less, of course, 10 seconds. That can give a lot. Yeah. So I love the subject.
Yeah.
And I know.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And also the number really, really, really blow off my mind, that even the number was the best country around the world is the States, like 93.4% of people that they don't get affected, but still like 7%, correct me if I'm wrong, 380 million people in the States. 8% is a huge number. Like it's really massive, a huge number. Yeah.
Right. It still is a very large number for sure. I think about perception as well. So, you know, 20 years ago, I was working in higher education. And I was the admissions director for the School of Education. So we were preparing, not teachers, because we were the graduate school that was preparing administrators and school psychiatrists or psychologists and counselors. And we had to address this topic because there's so much that comes with perception of how students have access or not have access. And that if you don't have access, like you said, if I don't have access to technology, does that make me dumb or stupid? Of course not. It just means that perhaps I'm less educated in that area because I don't have access to it. It's like I did not start driving a car until I was 18 years old. I could have started driving a car at 16 years old, but I didn't have a car to drive. So what was the point of trying to get a license when I couldn't practice, I couldn't use that license, and I had nothing to take the test with? So that was just 2 years, but it gives you the idea, like, well, I didn't have a car. That didn't mean I didn't know how to drive a car or couldn't learn how to drive a car when I finally got behind a wheel. So I was absolutely capable of driving a car. So people without technology are capable of using technology once they have it in their hands and they can learn it. Interestingly, just last month, Kathy Hochul, who is the governor of New York State, where I live, made this statement. She was trying to be helpful, I think, but she so missed the mark. But she said, right now we have young black kids growing up in the Bronx, which is a borough of New York City, who don't even know what the word computer is. They don't know these things, she said at the Milken Institute Global Conference. Now, I strongly disagree. Children in the Bronx, whether they are black students, white students, Hispanic students, any ethnicity, absolutely know what the word computer is. And my goodness, Kathy, they would recognize one if they saw it. what an asinine thing for her to say, of course. But it just really further cements that people with privilege make assumptions about what they assume privilege means in other areas. That if you aren't privileged to own a computer, you must not even know what it is. And that was just such, oh my gosh, such a misstep on her part. What can you even say for sure? She's A million apologies. If you like Google her, you will see her being embarrassed and like trying to apologize for that. But the damage is done when you say words like that, when you say things like that, because it matters. It matters how people in power and authority discuss topics that have to do with others, especially when they think that those others have less privilege. And whether it's true or not, and how you assume that privilege affects knowledge. And that's, to me, just such a misnomer. I know that, you know, I talk about WordPress and democratizing I forgot what the word is. Democratizing publishing. Yep. Yes. You know, and how if you don't have access, you don't have access. Yep. But I also think about the fact that I have seen so many things on social media, and, you know, we talk about TikTok all the time. I've seen it on TikTok. I've seen it in other places where somebody is, we call it food stamps here in the UK, I think they call it the dole, whatever it is, public assistance. Yeah. When you are getting public assistance for food, for any of your life needs, and somebody is looking for a job and they have a smartphone in their hand, and people with privilege will look at that and say, why does she need food stamps if she can afford an iPhone? Well, how is that person supposed to get a job? How is that person supposed to stay connected to their children's school? How... any of those things. How are you supposed to, if you don't have a phone? And yes, flip phones still exist, but if that person also doesn't have a computer, now they are doing all of their job applications on that phone. And let's be realistic in that you can buy a phone on a phone plan and you can pay $30 a month. It doesn't mean that you came up with $1,000 or $1,500 out of pocket or sold your food stamps to get it. So the perception of it also is just very, very harmful to so many people.
I agree with you. And for me, the thing is sometimes 20 years ago, or maybe 10 years ago, to have a phone, to have your own laptop, maybe I'm talking about where I'm coming from, it's luxury. But yeah. Now it's a must, right, in life. I will talk about Europe. Everything is online. Reaching your healthcare system, making an appointment with the doctor, even a tax authorization letter, everything is online. I cannot afford that to have a good computer. And also I need something that's really fast, work quickly. I don't need something that it will be. That's why you do a good investment. But of course, people, when you look at it, as you said, like with the iPhone, as you said, the plan, that is the thing, is people immediately look and immediately judge, while the phone is a must in life. You need it. You need it in your daily life for access. Talking about her name is... The one you were saying,
the governor?
Yeah, the governor, yeah.
Oh, Kathy.
Yeah.
Kathy Hochul.
I think she was trying to say that because... I think she was trying to say it in a very positive way, but just came out wrongly. And I think that is the powerful. When you have platform, be careful what you're saying. But I think also, absolutely, mm-hmm, having a privilege in life can give you a better... education. If you go to a very good university, if your family can afford to give you the best equipment, the best education, of course. And at the same time, I'm going to speak about some culture. I know Netherlands. Netherlands have like some, mm-hmm, let's say, I don't want to say some comfortable neighborhood, some areas, and some uncomfortable neighborhood. Or you can see the houses sizes, mm-hmm, even the houses close to each other, or there's a nice big houses. I was shocked, like I was talking with someone, that the governmental school in the rich area are better from governmental school in the poor area. And it's so shocking that it's the same city. It's only like 15 minutes away driving. But because the government is doing even like, how can I say, even the municipality or the people of that area doing, they're paying more money. So the school can get better for their own kids, while, let's say, the other area, the kids not getting the same treatment. And shockingly... how can I say, sadly, the rich area, most of the people, 99% are white, and the other area are which, let's say, the mixed race, or let's say the people coming outside refugee, or the Turkish ethnic backgrounds, or African backgrounds, or South American backgrounds. So you can find them all in one area. And that is sometimes, yeah, it's, of course, I believe where you grow up can affect your education, but also that because of the digital divide, even in that area, like I'm talking about, I was really shocked when you pass it, your phone is becoming less different. It's 4G. When I go on my side, it's 5G. And I was telling my husband, this is crazy. I know there's not a lot of difference. I'm not talking about third world country or outside of Europe when you have 2G and 3G. But yeah, I'm sorry. Right. You can notice those things. But absolutely, it's totally exists, the digital divide. And I think it also can, if someone will start pointing out why this group of people are not on the same of the other group because of this, because they don't reach the technology or they don't have the same privilege like you. I talk so much today. I'm sorry.
I love it. No, I love it. Sometimes we come up with ideas that are solutions to problems. Yeah. Like we talk about ways that companies can do better. We talk about, you know, other topics that we've had. I don't know what the solution is for the digital divide. I think if anybody leaves this podcast, listening to this podcast today, with at least one idea, I would hope that it would be judge not. Yeah. Do not judge people for their lack of access to technology and to tools, to Wi-Fi, to all of those things. There are remote parts of every country, the United States included, where unless they have a really good satellite, you know, like a satellite dish, and good weather, they will not be able to. There are places I drive through, even in my own region, not my particular hometown, but within an hour of where I am, where I lose all cell service. And so in those areas, if there isn't cable, those people also don't have access to the internet. And so there are so many places that are not even, you don't have to go that far to find them, is what I'm trying to say, where people don't have access just because of their geolocation, not even their socioeconomic status, not even their ethnicity or any of those other things that sometimes come into play. So never judge somebody because of the technology they have or don't have. And if you have it within your capability to help, my cat is meowing. I don't know if you can hear her. She is very mad at me that I won't let her in front of the camera right now. But if you have it within your power to lobby, to ask, to sign petitions, whatever it is to help, and maybe even to buy technology for somebody that you know is struggling, and to help them get ahead in life, I think those are all good things that we can do. But at the very least, understand where people are coming from and don't judge them for it.
Absolutely. I think because all of us are smart. All of us, if we get the same equal treatment in life, all of us, someone give us the same equal education, all of us will be the same. Still, of course, I believe people work harder than other, but that doesn't mean of your based on your color skin or where are you coming from. It's like how life navigates you and the circumstances where you grow up. I have access to technology. It was easy for you to go to school. Your family can help you afford it or not. And yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Do not judge. Just understand, because I think there's a lot of people. Yeah. Funny story. My husband working with the ICRC, which is International Committee of Red Cross, and they have one program. They connect people together. People sometimes with the war zones, they lose each other or they become refugee in other country. And I was shocked. I was talking with someone that this program touched my heart because there was a story. They connect family, mother with her two kids after 13 years, they're looking. And the person just immediately come and ask me, well, they don't have each other on Facebook. And I was like, no, there's places in the world they don't have the luxury to have a food three times a day. They don't know what is the phone or iPhone because it's not their on priority list. Their priority list is survive for food, bring their family food, mm-hmm. and if someone's sick, they don't have healthcare system. They have to sell things to can afford it for them. So and it was for me like shock reality. Like what? Like I even like how that even come to your mind? They cannot couldn't Facebook. I was replying. The kids were 4 and the other one is 7 years old. And then they don't have a phone. And I was like, no. Yeah. I said, no, they don't have a phone. Yeah. No. And I was going to make a joke.
Oh, my goodness.
They used to have a Nokia phone. But then I said, this is a really bad, bad joke. Yeah. But there's still people believe around the world, also try to put yourself in other people's shoes. See it from different corner. What sometimes we consider normal. Mm-hmm. It's from a lot of people, it's luxury to have our technology, education access. Some people around the world, they cannot open some websites, let's say whatever, it's been blocked by their government or also that's some factor, the educational, it's been blocked or some countries banned social media. So that all of this can add it to... many factors, and that was lead that they have less knowledge, not because they are not smart, but sadly they didn't have the information.
That's right. If you don't have access, you don't have information, and information is absolutely power. It's interesting you said something about it's not that people are lazy. As a matter of fact, some of the laziest people I've ever encountered are the most privileged because they've never had to work for anything. And so they don't understand what hard work actually looks like and how people have to hustle to be able to afford the things that they have in their lives and to afford technology. And it's easy for people with privilege also to say things like, they can just go to the library. There's computers there. Okay, but the library is only open certain hours of the day. And the library only has limited, limited number of access points. Yeah. The library isn't someplace where you can just be comfortable and have a snack while you do your work and all of those things. So while yes, there are sometimes points of access that people may have the ability to use, that also isn't the same solution. It still is part of the divide. It's perhaps, it's maybe like the rope bridge as opposed to a nice big fat bridge that's are filling in that gap. It's a lifeline, but it certainly isn't the answer. So I just wanted to throw that out there too, because I know that there are people there's places they can go. Mm-hmm. There's internet cafes, there's all that. Okay, first of all, there's no such thing as an internet cafe in most places anymore. Maybe in other countries in the United States, those things don't exist anymore because most people have technology here. And so don't say that those are things people can use. Yes, children sometimes have access at school. Yes, children sometimes, and by children, I don't mean the youngest. I mean the students that need technology to do their research and to do those things at the library and other places. But it's not the same as having access at home and being able to do the work within a comfortable and nurturing environment within their family units.
Yeah, so, I totally agree.
I guess I've pontificated enough, I'm sure. But
no, for me, I'm thinking if I have, I don't have kids, but if I was my 20s and I have to go to the library at night and use the computer, or my 18s use the computer and go home at night, I will never do it. I would be scared to go home. So also I always think from the around, I try to look at the things from all different corner. It's just it's so easy to tell someone do something. Just try to put yourself in their shoes for a while and try to think how that will make you feel and what is the obstacles, because there's a million obstacles. And as you said, definitely if a student sitting in their home doing their homework using the technology, or they do it in somewhere else. Yeah, the internet cafe, I think they even disappeared from the third world countries. Believe me, they just gone. That was last century trend, not anymore.
I recently saw somebody who is a friend on Facebook, because I had done a photo shoot for this person once upon a time, post that their job had been eliminated. They weren't fired, but their position was eliminated. They are a single parent of 2 children, and they now needed to find another job, but they didn't have a car, and their computer had died. Mm. So they wanted to be able to work from home because lack of a car makes it difficult. And there are lots of jobs you can work from home. But they didn't even have a computer to be able to do that. So all that they were doing was from their phone. And so they were trying to do like a GoFundMe, asking people to help because they were literally at the point of not knowing how to be able to provide for their family. And, you know, that's within 20-minute drive from my house, that person is. And so I look at those kinds of things and I think how sad that there are opportunities right here. And yes, I helped the person, in case you're all going, well, why didn't you do it? Of course I helped that person.
Of course.
Because I had the privilege to be able to do it. And I'm not looking for a pat on the back. I'm just trying to give an example of how it is not around the world. It is not, you know, in places that are unexplored in the world. It is literally in everybody's backyard that we have digital divide.
So. Definitely.
Look for opportunities to make the world a better place.
Yeah, hopefully, I'm going to make you laugh. I know we were talking very serious. My dream one day,
yes,
to open the TV and there's no news. Everyone is happy. Everyone getting treated, equal treatment. And they're talking about the carnival and the new concerts and what kind of flowers now. Hopefully one day the world will be that. One day we will be less divided by digital.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I agree. I also hope that happens. We could perhaps watch together. We could stream together Taylor Swift's old age tour. I don't know. Or something like that. Anyway, that's a nod to Kathy Zant, who is a Swiftie. Anyway. Well, when you hear from us next, we will be recording at WordCamp Europe. Yeah. And so that episode will come out next week. I know I said we're technically there now, but you know we're not really. We're not. We've recorded this in advance. So I can't wait to see you next week. I can't wait to see you in Torino. Yeah. And who knows what we'll talk about when we're there, but we will have an episode out for you next week. And then we will have a couple of weeks where we are both on vacations opposite each other. And so for those weeks, we'll just reshare some old episodes. So we won't be gone. Yeah. We will be coming back, but we will be taking a well-needed break from work following some travel. So, but we will see you all next week from Torino. And then we will see you again, I think, in July. So,
Bye, everyone. Bye.
If you're interested in using our database, joining us as a guest for an episode, or just want to say hi, go to underrepresentedintech.com. See you next week.